Amen. Give God a praise clap this morning. Thank you, praise band, for leading us this morning into the throne room of God. Let me ask you a question as we get started today. Here's my question. Have you ever felt stuck? Stuck. Have you ever felt stuck? I mean, maybe stuck in your job, stuck in a sickness, stuck in a temptation or a sinful situation, stuck in a circumstance. I mean, I am stuck in fill in the blank. Have you ever felt that way before? An unhealthy relationship, something wrong, something that's not going good. Some of you all have heard this story, but I'm going to tell it again. I just couldn't really think of a better illustration than to tell you this one. But when I was in college, me and a buddy of mine, I preached that evening, and my buddy went to church with me, and we were out just killing time. You know, college kids don't sleep. It's just kind of what you do. And we were just driving out in the country after I got done preaching, and I was in more of a traditional style church that I was preaching in, so I had a necktie on, and my suit jacket was in the car, and had my suit pants and all that stuff on. My buddy was in the car with me, and we were talking about deep theological stuff and the greatness of God and all of the stuff that college students talk about, you know. And we drove by this little bitty Christian camp, and we just thought it was a great idea to go into that little Christian camp and drive around and pray for that Christian camp. That sounded like a very spiritual thing to do, right? Let's go pray for this little bitty camp at midnight and thank the Lord there was no farmer out there with a gun. You know what I mean? So, but we drove around. I had at the time an 88 Firebird. I had this love for my Firebird. She was Birdie and she was wonderful. And my heart longs for Birdie. She's in some scrapyard somewhere now. But I love that car. And it was an 88 Firebird. And we were driving around this little camp praying for stuff. And I had not known this, but apparently it had rained pretty heavily that day. And as we're driving around this little camp, we're probably not supposed to be there, but we're there in the name of the Lord, so it's okay kind of stuff. We get hung up in the mud. And my car, you know, it's got that rear, and I'm pressing, zzz, it keeps going and going and going. And I look at my buddy, his name was Jody, and I said, Jody, we're going to have to push this thing. And he looked at me, and he said, what do you mean we are going to have to push this thing? And I said, well, I said, it's got to go. And we open the door up, and there's nothing but mud all around us. I mean, it's not just in the back, it's all around us. So I said, Jody, we got to do this. He said, but Kenny, he said, you're in a suit. And I said, I know, but we're stuck. So we get out, and I take my necktie off, and if I remember right, I think I took my dress shoes off. So I'm stepping in this stuff in mud. I'm up to, and it's going. And I said, Jody, you know, you get up there and you hit the gas. And so I'm pushing it. As Jody's hitting the gas, guess what's happening to me? Pop, 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 mud right in my face. I mean, I'm soaking wet, full of mud. And we finally got that out of there. But you know, I never would have been able to do that if I didn't have somebody else in front of the wheel helping me do that. I mean, I had to have somebody to help me, either to push me or to pull me out of that. You ever been stuck on the road and the only solution was what? A tow truck, right? And everybody likes making that phone call where you call the tow truck, right? Everybody loves doing that, right? You know, because you got to pay money, you got to do this. It's inconvenient, it's not fun, and all that fun stuff. But the reality is, it really reminds me sometimes that this is how life is. And if you're looking on your blank, here's just the first one really quick. Have you ever felt stuck? And I think we would all answer that question with the big resounding yes. We felt stuck before, haven't we? We felt that way. And really, when we feel that way, what do we need? We need a breakthrough. And prayer is that breakthrough. Prayer is the answer. The reality is, whenever we feel stuck, we need breakthrough and we need prayer as the solution. Now, when we start talking about prayer, many of you all know prayer. You pray when you feel stuck sometimes. You pray when you have a hardship. You pray when you need something. You pray and you ask when you're in a pinch or in a bind. But have you ever experienced really breakthrough prayer? And when I start talking about breakthrough prayer, you may not know at first what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about a prayer that's calling out to the Lord over a situation, over a circumstance that you really need to be pulled out of, that you really need some help. I mean, if you're not going to have breakthrough, you're just going to keep spinning your tires. And I believe that we can, if we learn how to pray, that when we pray, we will have breakthrough prayer. Prayer that will pull us to the next level and pull us to where the Lord wants us to be. See, God has designed us for two things. He's designed us to move forward in our lives and to give Him glory. The reason you're on earth is chiefly to give God glory. So every day in your life, as you move forward, you should be learning to give Jesus more control of your life. But when we are in situations that make us feel stuck, we don't allow God to have the glory for God to use us like we need to be. So we feel stuck in our situation, in our circumstance. But a reason that many times our prayers feel cold, or our prayers seem like they're not effective, or our prayers feel like they're just, you know, an echo of something or a hollow shell of something, is because really we don't know how to pray. We know how to ask for stuff, but we don't know how to pray. We don't know really how to call on the name of the Lord. You know, if you ever visit our church, sometimes we send out little thank you cards. Anybody ever got a thank you card for me in here before or something like that? I send those out. Try to. Don't always get it, but sometimes I try to send it out. Well, this week, somebody had visited our church last week, and I had sent a thank you card to them, and I had not addressed the envelope correctly. So you know what happened? Two things. Somebody in here either didn't get a thank you card from me, and the other thing that happened was what? It got sent back to me. See, when you don't know how to properly address something, it doesn't get to where it needs to go. And many times our prayer life is like that. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how God is asking us to pray. And we're actually maybe sometimes praying incorrectly. Praying incorrectly. Some of you guys are looking at me saying, Kenny, can you really pray incorrectly? I think you can. I think you can. I think you can pray incorrectly. So if we really need a breakthrough from our situations and our circumstances or whatever we're doing through, here's my question. Would you like to learn how to pray? Would you like to learn how to pray? Did you know in the disciples, all the things they asked Jesus, they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to teach people. Teach us how to do miracles. They never asked that. They never asked, Lord, teach us how to preach. Teach us how to study the Bible. They never asked that. But you know what they did ask? Teach us how to pray. They asked the Lord to teach them how to pray. So what are we going to do? Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about breakthrough prayer, and we're going to talk about how to pray. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. We have it printed. This is a very famous passage of Scripture. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Anybody ever heard the Lord's Prayer before? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read the Lord's Prayer. Here it is. Therefore, Jesus said, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's do this. Let's stand and pray this. Can we do that together? You got it in your notes. Print it. We're going to be reading and praying from the Holman translation. Tanner will have it on the screen. Let's read this together. You ready? Some of y'all are going to want to quote the older version, but we're going to pray this version, all right? You ready? Here we go. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's have a seat. The Lord just heard our prayer today. We often have called this the Lord's Prayer, but really, here's your blank here. Really, we've called it the Lord's Prayer, but really, it's the what? It's the disciples' prayer. Because this was what Jesus used to teach the disciples how to pray. Look at the very first part of that. It says, pray like this. He's not saying that this is a mechanical recantation or this is some sort of mystical formula. He says, pray like this. He tells us that this is the way that we are to pray. to Him like this. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to quote it verbatim, but we understand that He's teaching us how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is really the disciples' prayer. It's how we ought to pray. It's how we ought to react and pray to the Lord. It serves as a model for how we are to pray. It serves as a model for how we are to pray. Understand that when we speak of the Lord's Prayer, we are asking God to do things the way that Jesus tells us to pray. See, many times when we begin to pray to God, we don't experience breakthrough. We're not seeing a change. We're not seeing God doing something. And maybe perhaps it's because we're not praying the way or like the way that Jesus instructed us. Talking about addressing envelopes the right way, I think the best place to start in the Lord's Prayer is where? At the very beginning. And look how what Jesus tells us. The very first thing, just one phrase that we're going to look at today. Our Father in heaven. To properly understand how to pray, you got to properly understand how you start your prayer. And that proper way is knowing what it means to pray, our Father in heaven. Breakthrough prayer begins when we know how to approach God. So ask yourself three questions when approaching God. If you really want to see breakthrough in your prayer life, ask yourself these three questions when you pray. Are you ready? Here's question number one. Do I have a relationship with God? Now notice what the Bible says, what Jesus, how He taught us how to pray. Our Lord in heaven. Is that what He said? Our Sovereign Master in heaven. Is that what He said? Our Creator of the heaven. Is that what He said? Say it with me. Our Father in heaven. Now, this is what's really interesting. In the Old Testament, when you read the Old Testament, when they approached God, it was always kind of scary. I mean, when Moses went up to the Lord at the burning bush, he had to take off his sandals. He had to keep his back turned. He was scared. When Isaiah was in the temple, I mean, he said, woe is me. And he's saying all this stuff. Whenever God appeared in the Old Testament, it was always kind of scary when the Lord appeared because of His holiness and His righteousness. And people would quake and be afraid. They would never call God Father. They would say, they would even be careful using the word Yahweh. They wouldn't even say that out loud. They'd be very careful. They would be very reverent. And here comes Jesus, and He tells us to pray to who? He calls God what? He calls God Father. Now, this doesn't make any sense, because God is, you're supposed to be afraid of God and scared of God, and now you call Him Father? I mean, when I come home and my kids come and see me, they don't stand in the other room with their heads bowed and say, oh, Daddy Rager, I am going to step out of my flip-flops. I'm going to crawl into the other room. And maybe, just maybe, I can get a glimpse of your back. That ain't what happens. When my little Gracie comes in, when my little Hope comes in, Gracie's, Daddy, 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 and jumps in my arms, and Hope's like Frankenstein, da, 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 walking. And you know, and they're doing that, they're jumping all over me, and all that stuff. They want to take me and show me what they did for the day. They want to show me the crayons that they cut, the pictures they colored, and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because I'm their father. I'm their daddy. And now here, Jesus is teaching us to approach God, not the way Moses did, but as Father. What happened? What in the world happened? I mean, is there a different God from the Old Testament and the New Testament? No. Same God. But something did happen. Somebody happened. And what was His name, by the way? Jesus, right? See, Jesus, the Bible tells us a couple things. Just, these aren't in your notes, but just they'll be on the screen. John 1:29. Jesus is called, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When Jesus came, He was God in flesh. And when He died on the cross, He died for our sins. And He took away our sin. Took away our sin. And if we believe in Jesus, guess what? We are forgiven of sin. Isn't that a wonderful thing, church? We're forgiven of sin. Hebrews 9:22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But Jesus did shed His blood. He poured out His blood on the cross so that if we believe, the blood of Jesus wipes us clean. All of our stains, all of our yuckiness, all of our faults and failures, past, present, and future, are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news today? Good news. And then Jesus says this in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And look what he says. No one comes to the who? Father, except through me. When we give our life to Jesus, God restores our relationship with God. And no longer is he just this deity that sits on a throne that's distant from us. He is now personal to us. This is why when Paul says over there in his epistles, he talks about how we can pray and call God Abba, Father. Abba is even more personal than the word Father. You know what Abba means? Daddy. Paul says that when we talk to God, we can even call him Daddy. Because Abba, think about it, Dada, some of the very first words that kids learn. Abba, what? It's simple little children. In Hebrew, could say Abba. And he says that when we approach God, because of Jesus, we can even call on God and say what? Daddy. Well, that really changes things, doesn't it? So when Jesus heard, when these people heard what Jesus was saying, and they're saying, you mean we can call the creator of heaven Daddy? That doesn't seem right. It doesn't even seem right today, does it? And when we crawl before God, we could just, instead of crawling before God, we could sit in his lap and say, you're my daddy. You love me. You care for me. See, one reason that we don't experience breakthrough in our prayers is because we've never got this relationship with God down. We pray in lots of ways. We say, oh God. Nothing wrong with that. But here's the deal. That's very impersonal, isn't it? You're recognizing there's a God. Some of us will say, oh Lord. You recognize he's a boss. Oh, sovereign. You recognize he's in control. But when you pray, oh, daddy. Boy, it gets personal, doesn't it? You're implying what? That Jesus Christ is in your life. And that God is no longer far from you, but God is where? He's in you. And you know God personally. And he's a real father. And some of you all, you don't like that term father. Because you had an earthly father. That was not a good father. And when you hear the term father, you want to equate that to your earthly father, and you just would love any other description of God except for father. But here's the deal. You shouldn't have a problem, okay, with God being your father because your earthly father. I'm sorry he was a bad example. I'm sorry. But here's the deal. That does not take away from the fact that there is a heavenly father that is good. He's a real father. He's a father that does give you love. He's a father that does want what's best for you. He's a father that does care for you and is caring for you. So don't write off God as father because you've had a rough earthly father. Look to the real father in heaven as the example of what a father should be. Understand that. Breakthrough prayer is not just praying to somebody out there in space. Breakthrough prayer is having a genuine conversation with your daddy in heaven. Talking to him. And I'll tell you, when you begin to do that and you know Jesus, and by the way, the very first prayer God ever hears is the prayer when you invite him into your heart. When the relationship begins. So to experience real breakthrough prayer, you got to get out of just praying to just something out there. God, if you're there. God, if you hear me. God, but understanding that he is a father that loves you and is walking with you. The second thing about breakthrough prayer you've got to understand in addressing the proper approach to God is this. Do I recognize who he is? Look what Jesus said. Our Father where? In heaven. Now that title, in heaven, okay, is a title of royalty. It is a title of divinity. It is a title of power. See, we know that God just isn't in heaven. He's where? Everywhere. Everywhere. God is everywhere. David said, if I lay down in the lowest valley, he's there. But if I go up to the highest mountain, what? He's there. The title in heaven is implying his power, that he is the creator of all the universe, that he has power. That's what that means. See, God is with us right now. He's in this room with us right now, listening and paying attention and speaking to us. And when we pray God, our Father in heaven, we're saying, Lord, we believe that you're everywhere, that you control everything, that you have power, that you are strong, that you are mighty, that you are capable and able to do everything that you promised to do. And by the way, he is a father in heaven, is better than any earthly father, mentor, guide, leader, or pastor than you'll ever have. Ever. He is better. He is seated on the throne. He's king, and he has power. And when we go before him, this is such a complex paradox. We call him daddy, but he's a daddy that controls the earth. There is such a conflict here in my brain sometimes because I'm allowed to be so personable with him, but yet he seems so above me, and he is above me, and he can do everything. And I think, oh, Lord, I can't go near you. But he says, yes, you can come near me because of Jesus. But, Lord, I'm unworthy. And he says, but you're made worthy in Jesus. And it's such a mystery, isn't it, church? Our Father in heaven, our daddy that can do everything. That's how we're all to pray, believing that he can do everything. Now, I know a little bit about myself. I know that I'm not very much of a handyman. If you know me, Daniel amened me. Did you hear that? If you know me for very long, you know that picking up a screwdriver, a drill, you know, anything like that is the equivalent of you picking up, you know, a Greek lexicon, okay? It don't work with me. Frustrates the fire out of Taryn. Amen, hun? Yeah, she's just not saying anything. Yeah, it happens. The other night, I was trying to fix the toilet, and I was getting so frustrated, and I said, I don't even want to talk about the toilet. You know, I don't even want to do that. I don't even want to talk about it. You know, I'm not good at it. So, but my dad is good at stuff like that. He's good with computers. He can make stuff. He can build stuff, all kinds. I mean, my dad's kind of a unique cat. A few years ago, we built a swing set for our kids, and you know, I knew how to get the supplies, and that was about it. But my dad came, and he said, you know what, I can help you do this. And can I be honest with you? He didn't really help me. You know what happened? He did it, okay? You know, I'm just being honest with you. And can I tell you something else, a little confession? I let him, okay? And Daniel and Stephen came over to my house to help me the other day, and guess what I did? I let them. Jason came over and cleared out a bunch of birds out of my house, and you know what? I let him, you know? And I'm just not good at that stuff. But I know that if something needs to be done, I know who to call. I call my dad. My father-in-law is the same way. He can build like a nuclear generator out of, you know, junkyard parts. I mean, it's just, I'm blessed with these two men in my life that are awesome. But I can't do this stuff. And likewise, when I pray, I have to approach God knowing that I can't do stuff. Does anybody have a problem admitting that you can't do stuff? See, you don't even want to admit that, do you? You know? I can do everything. I ain't raise my hand. Do everything, tell the truth, amen, you know? You know? But we've got to learn how to come to God. And when we recognize who he is, we've got to do two things. We've got to have faith that he can do it. Everybody say amen to that. You've got to have faith he can do it. I'm going to say it again. You've got to have faith he can do it. You've got to believe that. So instead of praying prayers like this, God, if you can, we pray, Father, you can. Instead of praying, God, if you care, we pray what? Father, you care. Instead of praying, God, give me strength. How many times have we prayed, God, give me strength, give me strength, give me strength? You know, you read the New Testament. Bible never tells you to pray for strength. Never does. Actually, Jesus said, when you're weak, I am strong. Problem is, we always want to do it in our own power, don't we? And God's saying, quit. Quit doing it in your own power. It ain't about how strong you can be. So instead of praying, God, make me strong, Father, you are the strength we need. Father, you're my strength. You're my strength. That's one thing we do. The other thing we do when we recognize his power, we actually place our need in his hands. So we go before the Father and we say, Lord, this is what I need. And we believe things like when Jesus said, if you ask your Father for a loaf of bread, he's not going to give you a rock. Or if you ask your Father for an egg, he's not going to give you a snake. But we put that need into the Father's hands and we say, Lord, we just believe that you're able to do this and you can do this. We recognize. We stop carrying the load. How many times we come to the altar and we've prayed for God to do something and instead of leaving it here, we do what? We pick it right back up with us, take it right back to our seat, back to our house, and we worry and dwell on it until next Sunday when we come down, we leave it at the altar only to pick it back up, repeat the cycle. That's not praying to our Father in heaven that can do all things. We have to pray, say, Lord, you got this. Old saying, it's not in the Bible, but it's pretty cool. You got to let go and what? Let God. Third thing, do I believe He hears me? Do I believe He hears me? That little phrase, our Father in heaven, we've talked about Father. That's how we're to address Him because of Jesus. We talk about in heaven because that's His power, that's His divinity, that's who He is. But did you notice that first word? What's that first word in that phrase? Our Father in heaven. Some people would say this is a corporate prayer, to be prayed corporately, where we talk about our Father, where we would be like in a church setting and we're praying our Father. And that's very, very much true. But do you remember who said this? Who was teaching the disciples how to pray? Jesus, right? And what does Jesus say? You ought to pray like this. Our Father in heaven. What does that mean? Well, it means this. It means that when we pray in the name of Jesus. So when we go before God the Father, who can rule heaven, we don't go before Him alone. You know who we go with? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Look what Ephesians 2:18 says, and it's going to be on the screen. For through Him, that is Jesus, for through Him we have both access by one Spirit to the who? Father. When you pray in the name of Jesus, guess what? You're not going alone. You're going with Jesus. So when you pray, guess what? Jesus is there with you, interceding for you, and Jesus is talking to His Heavenly Father on behalf of you. Now listen, it's great to have people pray for you, to have the pastor pray for you, the deacons pray for you, life group leaders to pray for you, Bible study leaders pray for you, but isn't it even better when Jesus Christ Himself speaks up for you? You know what? That's what happens when you know God and you're praying to the Father. You have a priest, and His name is Jesus. And the priest goes before you into heaven, calling on the name of Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that He is the what? The high priest. And when we talk to God the Father, it is through Jesus Christ. Now, if Jesus is with me every time I pray because I'm a Christian, because He's in my life, here's a question. Do you think He hears me? What do you think? Of course He hears you. But how many times have we conditioned ourselves to believe that we're praying prayers that don't go through the ceiling? That we pray and just nobody ever hears. And you know why we think that? Because it didn't happen. It didn't happen. We didn't get what we asked for. Therefore, God didn't hear us. The problem is this. The problem is, it goes back to that first point, you're not viewing God in a relational way. Instead of treating Him like Father, you're treating Him like a magic genie, where you just want stuff. Instead of rubbing a lamp, you get on your knees and say, Our Father who art in heaven, give us everything, 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 and this. Well, you forgot the relational part of it. When you pray, you are praying to God through Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. You may think, well, I'm not worthy enough for God to hear me. We've already talked about that. Your prayer life is not based on your righteousness. It's based on the righteousness of Jesus. The end. When you pray, it's not your righteousness, it is the righteousness of, say it with me. Some of y'all look at me like deer in the headlights today because you never heard this. But this is the gospel, amen? This is how good Jesus is. You are in the presence of the Lord. But Kenny, I didn't get what I wanted. God didn't hear me. Yes, He did. Quit treating Him like a genie, start treating Him like a father. Let me tell you, for example, who here in this room, it's a parent, that's ever had their kid ask them for something? Get out of here. Are you serious? You've had kids ask you for stuff? Now, raise your hand if you always got them everything they asked for. Nah, no you didn't. No you didn't. You know how I know that? Because there aren't ponies in your house. There's not rocket ships in your house. right? Astronaut club, it ain't happening. Why is that? Did you hear them, yes or no? Come on, tell me, did you hear them, yes or no? But who are you at the end of the day? You're who? The parent. You're telling me that in your wisdom as a parent, there are some things that your kids ask you for and you don't think it's deemed necessary to get them? Is that right? No, come on. No, that's not true. You mean you as a parent, you believe that there are some things your kids ask for and they just shouldn't have? Yeah. So if God is Father and we ask Him for something, do you think He reserves the right to say no? Does He? Of course He does. This is why it's relational. Amen? When you pray in the name of Jesus, God always hears you and He will always answer. This is the part we don't like about prayer. Okay? Sometimes He says yes. You know why He says yes? Because it's in His will. It matches the Word of God. God will never, ever, ever give you something that the Bible contradicts. Did you know that? You ask God to strike somebody dead, He's going to take you to that scripture where it says, forgive your enemies. When you ask God, will you just make them pay for everything they did? He's going to take you to that verse where it talks about showing them with love and kindness. That's what He's going to do. God's never going to do something that contradicts His Word, ever. So it's really important we as Christians do what? Study our Bibles so we know what's in the Word. Amen? Sometimes He'll say yes. Sometimes He'll say no because it's not in His will. Listen, sometimes He'll say yes, but not now. Daddy, give me a car. Gracie, you're 5 years old. Wait till you're 16. You've got to learn a few things. You ask the Father for something. He said, yeah, but not now. Why? Because I'm not done teaching you. Amen? And I tell you, sometimes, this is the hard part. I almost didn't talk about this, but I want to. Sometimes He will answer you with silence on purpose. He'll put you through seasons in your life where you're not hearing from Him, but He heard you. You know why He does that? Because He's telling you this, I got it. Don't worry about it. Other day, Gracie is in our car and she was asking us for something, and we had told her, I think it was ice cream or something, we told her, we're going to get ice cream, okay? We had to run some errands first. So everywhere we stopped, are we going to get ice cream? Yes. Are we going to get? And we just stopped answering her. Are we going to get ice cream? You know the answer, right? We answered with silence. Didn't stop her from asking, amen. But she knew the answer. Oh, when we begin to understand that prayer is more like a child talking to a father than us talking to a magic genie, you know what will happen? Breakthrough. We need to make a resolution, and that resolution is this. If Christ is in my life, God is my Father, and my Father listens to me. Let me say that again so you can get it through your brain, all right? If Christ is in my life, God is my Father, and my Father listens to me. Believe it today. You know, sometimes I'm away from my family for different stuff, revivals and stuff like that, or traveling and preaching. And you know, I love coming back home and kids running in my arms, my wife hugging me. You know what that's like. You love that, spending time with them. But how would you feel that when you came home from work, from whatever, a vacation, and you go in there to see your children, your wife, and all you hear is this, take out the trash, do the dishes, I want a toy, I want a doll, I want this, I want this, I want this, I need you to do this, I need you to do this, I need you to do this, I want 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 this, I need 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 this. When really you as what? A parent just wants to what? Hold them. Amen? I really believe that when we begin to pray like that, and here's the last blank, the goal of prayer is this. Is it the stuff or the Father? When we really begin to seek God instead of stuff, you know what happens? Breakthrough happens. Change happens in your life. It happens in your life. This became very true to me when I was a freshman in college going into my sophomore year that summer. I had gotten a hold of a little book called The Normal Christian Life. It's a massive book that influenced me greatly by a guy named Watchman Nee, a Chinese martyr that died in the 50s under communism. Just a powerful little book. And I remember reading that in my living room. And I had been in ministry for several years at that time and preached and traveled and preached. And I had prayed lots of stuff. But at that point, I can honestly say into my freshman year of college, my prayer life was more, God, I need you to do this. I need another place to preach. God, move in the service, move in this, whatever. And those are all good things. But I read those very first few chapters of that book. And it reminded me that Jesus shed his blood for me to restore me to the Father. And I had a moment in my life there in my living room floor that summer that I promise you the Lord was there with me. I've only had a few encounters in my life that felt that way. The day I was saved, the day I was called to preach, and that day in my living room. I felt the Spirit of God all over me. And for the first time in my Christian walk, my prayer was not for stuff. It was just basking in the Father's presence. Maybe you've never experienced that. When you're just content being in the Father's presence. And if you've never had that time of prayer, that moment of prayer, where you're just taking in the Father and the Spirit, you need breakthrough. See, your situation today is not going to get better with another job, more money, the sickness to go away. You may die with your sickness. Did you know that? You may die without any money to your name. Did you know that? But if you can walk with the Father in Jesus through the power of the Spirit, you'll experience breakthrough every day. Every day. So what happens today? We've got to really repent of the way we pray. We've got to stop seeing God like a genie. Start seeing Him as our Father. Amen? I invite you today to spend time with your Father. To gain a new relationship with Him. To renew your relationship with Him. To soak in His presence and His Spirit. Would you pray with me? Father, we love You. We thank You for Jesus, who died for us on the cross. And Lord, today, if there's somebody here that's never experienced the grace of God in their life, Lord, I pray today that they would trust in Jesus and believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, today we invite Your presence to be with us and to speak into us, Lord. And Father, we know that You have all the needs that we have in Your hands. And God, we know that You have this church in Your hands, the future of this church. We know that You have the families of this church in Your hands. You have every concern or problem in Your hands. And Father, we come before You not wanting stuff, but just wanting You. So Father, if someone needs to join the church today, send them. If they need to make a decision to give their life to Christ, send them. But God, we just invite You to speak to us and to remind us as we pray that real breakthrough is realizing that You're our Father in heaven. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and experience the Lord today through worship. Amen.